Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miroboard. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miroboard?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the DNBR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNBR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo, AJ, Megan, Blaze coming to you live as the Avs drop game 3, 6-2 in the third game of the Stanley Cup Final. It was not a good game, ultimately. No. Certainly not on the scoreboard. I'm sure we'll have a lot to say about a lot of the main details of it, but ultimately, they trade blowouts. Avs in Game 2, Tampa in Game 3. And that is what it is. We do have the one-minute breakdown, which I guess I'll do.
1, 2, 3.
So Avs started out strong. They got the first goal of the game. They got it taken away from them, and then they got it again. Things were looking good. The first period was just a quality hockey period. Tampa gets 2. One softy from Kemper. One off of just mistakes from the Avs. And then in the second period, the mistakes just total up, and the Avs give up a whole bundle of goals because they do not execute well. It ends up with the Avs getting one back after they give Tampa one. They get a power play. They score on thanks to Landy, 3-2, and then the wheels kind of come off with a couple of big mistakes in a row. The Avs don't defend the slot or the net front well enough at all by any stretch of the imagination. It ends up getting to 6-2. And the third period was strictly academic after the very beginning of it. So, is what it is. 6-2 game. You know the Avs can play better. You certainly expect the Avs to play better in games going forward. And you knew Tampa was going to come out and push in a game down 2-0 in the series. So, there you are. Not bad. Got it in under the minute. So let's do our best to go chronologically here, because I'm sure everyone wants to talk about the second period. But let's start in the first, because
the disallowed goal, everybody's fine with it. Yeah. We're good. It's offside. It's whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
The only issue here is how long they gave Tampa Bay to make the decision.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You have 30 seconds to make that call. And Elliot Friedman went back and counted and said that they ended up taking about a minute 20.
Way too long.
And they also called the refs over while they were still looking at it before they made the call.
Yeah, well, and so, like, they, like, send them out there, and they're like, okay, we're not going to challenge it. We're not going to challenge it. And they're watching. They're watching more replays, and they're like, watching
wait,
more.
Wait, wait.
And then at the very end, they're getting ready to drop it, and then they go, oh, no, come on over.
Yeah.
At that point, the ref has to be like,
too late,
you decided.
Man. Yep.
The refs need to, and like, this is not a, this is ultimately immaterial to the outcome of the game.
Totally.
Like, it is what it is. But that is, the officials need to, you've got time here.
30 seconds is 30
seconds. Yeah. You've got a certain amount of time that you are allotted. It is not, hey, let's continue to get looks at this.
Yep.
Make them make a call. That's simple.
Yeah. You don't get all day to look at it and find out, oh, it was offside, even though we couldn't tell for a whole minute. Like, it's a tough one to swallow. But really, the Avs respond to that and end up getting the goal anyway a bit later into the first period. And the first period as a whole was just quality hockey from both sides, I think. Yeah. For the most part, you got a good hockey period there.
Yeah, and the Avs turn around and they get the first goal.
Yeah.
So that lost momentum from not getting the, like, not, having it taken off the board, it's not really just not that big of a deal, right? They turn around, they draw a penalty, they score on the power play, Landeskog puts it in. They get the 1-0 lead. You're feeling good. You've done what you need to do to kind of take the crowd out of it, take the teeth out of it. And now you're starting to feel like, okay, well, hey, now we have to build. And then it just does not.
Well, you come back, and what sums up most of this game is the Avs are playing well in the first period. And then you get one chance for Cirelli that he basically bobbles into the net because Kemper misplays it.
Yeah. Well, it looks like Cirelli misplays it.
Yeah.
And Kemper's obviously not planning for that.
Right.
And it just eats him up, dude. Yep. It's like a ground ball and a shortstop, you know, and it takes like that funny bounce.
Yep.
It hits like the sprinkler head.
Yep.
And it takes like that awkward bounce that the guy's not planning for. And it just eats up a shortstop every once in a while.
Yep.
And that's what that looked like, dude. Cirelli misplays it and it just ate up DK. He had no response to it.
Yeah.
Slides right on in.
Just beats him. That was the first one. The second one, unfortunately, starts with Devon Taves just losing a pass. He just sends a pass to nobody.
Dude, he just throws it to them. They make that bounce to bounce.
Yep.
Plot to Stamkos.
They make that pass all the time, dude. And he just fucking throws it up to him.
It creates a 3-on-2-ish the other way. Okey-dokey. And Mikko just doesn't cover his guy.
Yeah, and this is the major theme here is that an Avalanche player does not cover a Lightning player in the middle of the ice.
Yep.
They throw that puck into the middle of the ice to that guy, and that guy scores.
They are in prime real estate right there. In the slot, no one around them. That's an easy score.
Blaze, how confident did you ever feel when you had the puck 4 feet from the goaltender and nobody around you? You were totally by yourself.
Feel pretty confident.
Most of the time.
Cool.
Well, you have everything to look at.
Right.
Right? Because a goalie isn't expecting that to happen in front of him where it just breaks down that bad.
Yep.
Where he comes to that slot, he's got, it's dealer's choice where he wants to shoot that puck. And he's just looking for an open spot. It's easy to shoot there. Can't do that.
Yeah.
That's really bad hockey.
Hanging your goalie out to dry 101.
Yeah, and like you,
all the goals are in the slot. Like they're in the slot. Like as close as you can get to the goal.
Yeah.
And you watch them, they're not even contested.
Yeah.
It's bad defense.
It's the highest danger chance you can give up outside of a breakaway.
Yeah, I mean, Darcy Kemper, like, that goal that he let in is unforgivable. Like, that was a bad goaltending moment, but those other ones aren't on him.
We'll get there.
Yep. We will get there. It's only 2-1 after the first period. This felt like the game you kind of expected tonight, right? You knew Tampa was going to have some pushback.
You knew they were going to have a lot of jump, and I thought the Avs handled it just fine in the first period. It's
outside of two massive mistakes.
Yeah, like outside of like you created chances for them with your own poor play, and I think that's where they were fine 5v5.
Yeah,
like they're totally fine 5v5. They're playing fine.
Yeah.
It's not great. I mean, they're not dominating, but that's an even hockey game. And then you just create chances for them.
Yep.
And that's how
it went. I mean, I will give it the Lightning did clog up that neutral zone, especially the blue line, and made it hard for the Avs tonight. You saw that a lot.
They did, but I also do think there's a conversation here about the Avs failing to capitalize on their chances as well. In the first period, JT Compher had an empty net to shoot at on his backhand. And look, great. Vassie got over and made the save. But if you go back and watch that play, if Vassie wasn't there, that puck's not going in the net.
Right.
That thing is going through the crease and out the other side.
Compher shoots it back into
Vassie's
body. He doesn't shoot it into the empty net.
Yep.
It's what we talked about with Burakovsky's game winner in game one.
How many dudes?
Where he just shoots it into the open net. And he not back into the body, nothing special, nothing complicated. Just back into the goalie's body, and that was a great example of it. Confer on the backhand. He does it twice tonight.
Yep. Two different opportunities.
Yeah, there. Does it twice tonight. He shoots that puck right back in there.
It is what it is. You can't go back and redo it. You just have to erase it and move on a little bit. So
I thought he had a little more edge on the first attempt. I thought Vasi's leg, like his pad, comes to that corner and it was open. Otherwise, like, it's a pretty sliding save from Vasilevsky. That I think Comfort did what he could on that chance. The second attempt, I think, was just into the body.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, fair enough. You end up on the end of that play two times in one game, and it doesn't feel very good.
No.
To say the least. And look, I think you can pin back a lot of this game to the Avs not executing.
Yeah, and you're down 2-1 at the end of the first period. It's 50-50. You feel completely fine.
In a game where, again, you had a goal taken away in that period,
too. Like, you felt completely fine about it. You're like, okay, I mean, it's, you know, you don't love being down, but it's...
A lot of game left ahead of you.
You haven't played a poor game up to that point.
Yeah.
It's everything that happens in the middle frame.
Yep.
The first period you don't have a problem with. The third period ended up being completely irrelevant and will end up skewing statistics for the series moving forward.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
It's everything in the second period that you're just like, what?
Well, and the thing with the second period is that it starts right away. Less than 90 seconds in, the Avs give up the next goal. Nick Paul ends up finishing one. There is no secret specialty here. All you have to do is go watch games one and two and then watch games three, and it's like, oh, so that one part of the ice you're supposed to defend, the Avs didn't do a good job of it tonight. Yeah. There isn't a single player where you're happy with how they defended in their own zone in the slot area.
Yeah, I mean, I want to go back and watch, but I really don't think I have a Byram issue tonight. I think my biggest problems are the miscommunication with Manson, Helm, and Jack Johnson. Whatever happened on the Pat Maroon goal.
Yeah. Which was just weird.
That's that one, right? That was.
I think that's the same one.
There were so many, right?
Yep.
Manson turned it over for the Nick Paul goal, too.
For the Paul goal.
Yeah,
and
that might be the one.
And then kind of almost screened Kemper coming back from that.
Well, it's just weird. The
probably
were,
that one, then.
It might be.
We're not communicating, or people weren't where they were supposed to be, something there with those turnovers. But and then it's a compounding
issue. He just gave it to him. Like, there's nobody there, and he literally passes it to him.
A Lightning player.
Yep. Yeah. And the issue compounds where not only do they just give it to them, but then no one's taking the guy in the middle of the ice.
Yeah.
Right.
They don't do anything from there. There was no recovery. It was they all just
desperation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Manson's in front of Kemper now.
And again, like, this isn't just the defenseman. We saw Rantanen fail to cover a guy in the middle. We saw Comfer fail to cover a guy in the middle. Lekkonen
single out just Manson. You're right. It was shared.
It was across the board.
Eric Johnson didn't have a good game tonight.
Yeah.
And then Taves and Makar get crushed.
Yep.
Over and over and over and over and over, giving up high danger chances. Those two specifically, high danger chances, high danger. So you're looking at your best players getting eaten up here. You're looking at the guys that have been nails for you for most of the playoffs, and they're all having a bad night.
Yep. Yeah. It's
they all have a bad night at the same time, and you're just like, well, this is a recipe for getting bodied.
It's how you lose a hockey game, and you look at the top, and I know the top line had decent Corsi numbers and all of that, but even them are not executing well. You're watching Landy throw pucks to nobody. You're watching pucks just bounce off of Miko's stick.
Yeah.
They just didn't have it tonight.
Yeah, you look at the execution in game two, and you're like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
This was the exact opposite.
Team-wide effort now.
Yeah.
Team-wide failure.
Yeah. Brutal
to
watch.
It really was, top to bottom on the team. There's no one, I think even Byron probably doesn't come out of tonight saying played well enough.
But I can't think of a specific, like you mentioned, I can't think of a specific moment where I thought, Byron, really, really bad.
I would love for him to actually beat a goalie. He's had a number of prime quality scoring chances.
Yeah.
He's still not getting one past a goalie. That's fine.
We are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery. Sorry. Go on down to your local liquor store. You can find some Breck Brew there. Of course, we have it down at the bar. You can also find it pretty much anywhere in the lower 48. You don't have to be in Colorado. They're across the country now. So go out there. Go get yourself some. And loss, unfortunate. Positive, there will be a Game 5 in Colorado. So Breck Brew will be giving some tickets away to that. You can nominate a community star on their website, breckbrew.com. Someone who deserves to win some tickets and go watch a Cup Finals game. So I highly recommend you go over there and do that. We're also, of course, brought to you by Athletic Greens. Feels like the Avs might need some Athletic Greens to, to get the body going again after this game. Maybe. They're gonna need a quick recovery and turnaround period, which Athletic Greens is great for. You just do one scoop in the morning, and it's got 75 different probiotics in it, vitamins and minerals, electrolytes, all sorts of other words that I don't know because I'm not a scientist, that are good for you. So go check out Athletic Greens today. A bunch of athletes across the world do use it as one of their sources. Knocking my shit over. Don't lose that. I need that.
I don't know where it went.
It's gone forever.
Yeah. My headphones like everybody else.
Go check out Athletic Greens. You can go to athleticgreens.com/DNVR to get it today. They're also giving you a one-year supply of vitamin D when you order and 5 travel packs. So even if you're going on the road, you can keep your Athletic Greens with you. Take control of your health today. Get over to athleticgreens.com. Yeah. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. And there was some initial fight back from the Avs, right? After that third goal, they pushed back. They had a couple good shifts. They drew a power play. And then Landy, with a great shot, gives them back to within one.
When you see the pushback, they give up that second goal at the end of the first period. And then shot attempts are 10-0 Avs after that.
Yep.
From that moment on, the rest of the first period.
Yep.
Don't score. And then they come out, they give up that third goal. It's free.
Yep.
You just giving pucks away again. Just leaving guys alone.
Yep.
It's free. Now it's 3-1, and then you're like, okay, this is a tall mountain, dude.
Yep.
And then they do fine. Like, they as you say, they draw the power play. They go on it. They score again. Landy with a great shot. He scores. It's 3-2, and you feel like these guys aren't going to get away from us because we're playing well enough here. All we have to do is cut out the self-inflicted stuff.
Yep.
If we can remove it from our game moving forward,
you feel good.
Then we feel like we have a good chance to get back in this. It's just the one goal. And then they don't cut any of that out.
Less than 3 minutes later, they leave Steven fucking Stamkos wide open in the slot.
And goes bar down.
Turns out Steven Stamkos can shoot, huh?
Spin. Okay.
You have this weird coverage, and I don't know what was going wrong with it, but Lecky's out high, and he doesn't come down far enough.
Yeah.
Confer's in kind of no man's land where he's not really covering anybody.
Taves cuts in with Kucherov to the wall, and all of these guys, and it's very obvious that Taves is like, Kucherov is my guy, I'm going to follow him here. And then the combination of forwards do nothing.
Yep. Yeah. They all are just kind of standing there.
None of them pick up. Stamkos, who doesn't do anything, he comes into the zone, he moves the puck down low, and then he just skates at a straight line to the front of the net. Not one of those Avalanche forwards impeded his progress, picked him up, got near his stick, did anything to dissuade him from shooting on your goaltender.
Yeah.
One of your generation's great goal scorers is just 3 feet away from your goalie.
Clear to shoot
it. In the slot.
Yeah.
The puck on his forehand by himself. And you're just like, that's bad.
There's no.
Yep.
That's bad.
There's no.
It's bad.
It's not a great, tough situation to be in.
What else do you say about all of these goals that the Avs gave up? But it's bad.
Yeah.
Like, and there's not a coach in the world that will look at that game and go, yeah, you know, I think our systems really worked well by leaving Steven Stamkos open. I think that's what we wanted.
You guys played that perfectly.
We'll get it next time.
We're skipping tape tomorrow, everybody.
Yeah, I guarantee you, no Av needs to be told what they need to do better there. Yeah. Like, And maybe that's a positive you take out of this game. Maybe all the others are going, look, obviously we played poorly, but the fix is easy. It's not some complicated thing to fix what we messed up.
I think we'll get into the takeaways here when we get done going through the game, and that'll be what we focus on.
So we can keep going, and the wheels kind of just come off here. The Pat Maroon goal comes next with the turnover, and that's the one where EJ is just alone against two guys along the wall in his own zone.
Yeah, some of the easiest access possible for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and you know, Maroon cuts to the net. Kemper gets a lot of it, but not enough, and it ends up going in. And
it's crazy to watch that puck ride all the way up his arm and then go in, where you're just like, how many times have you seen that puck ride up a guy's arm and then just fall right in front of him?
Yep.
And I don't know, man.
And again,
the way that I feel like you could tell Darcy Kemper's story tonight is you get to tell the story that you want to tell.
Yep.
You can either look at the defense and say, what the fuck is that guy supposed to do? The same way that we kind of looked at Vasilevsky getting hung out to dry a little bit certainly in game two.
I mean, yeah. Both things are true, right?
And then you also look at Darcy Kemper and you can say he needs to be a lot better. And I said this on the watch along, but the evaluation of goaltenders has turned into all or nothing.
Yeah.
You're either, the goalie is either great because the goalie is great and nothing else is happening, or the goalie is bad because the goals went in and no matter what, everything that happened in front of him is irrelevant. The goals went in past him, therefore goalie bad. And if you look at tonight, it's a case of you get to tell the story that you want to tell.
Well,
and the reality is that Darcy Kemper is in the same exact position that Devon Taves, that Josh Manson, that JT Compher, that Arturi Lehkonen. He's in the same position as all those guys. He needed to play better tonight.
Absolutely. There's no magic. Everyone on the team needed to play better. And it turns out Darcy Kemper's on the team. Yes, you want the first goal back. You can make an argument you want that goal, Pat Maroon goal back. You can make an argument that maybe you'd like better on the other ones. But it's not just Darcy Kemper having a breakdown there, and it's not just the defense having the breakdown there. It's everybody.
Steven Stamkos beating you one-on-one, is there any shame in that? But you also are like, bro, you've got to help. Your D is not going to be perfect every night. They need you to stop some pucks here.
Yeah.
And enough pucks, like, seriously, you got one puck that clips through his arm.
Yep.
He gets like 60% of that thing. You got one that crawls up his arm like a goddamn spider and goes into the top of the net. You got that first goal from Cirelli where, what do you have a stick for you're either going to poke check or that thing needs to be covering your five hole as you move laterally. Whatever you did there was bad. All of it was bad.
Well, and
you're like, look, you needed better from Darcy Kemper. And you hung that guy out to dry.
Yep. And the process.
Both of those things are true in this
absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely. And the process isn't that complicated. The Avs made it real easy for Tampa to do it. But look at the difference between Tampa going to the slot and getting rewarded. And the Avs, especially as the game went on, content to kind of settle around the perimeter.
Oh, hey, let's have Nathan MacKinnon skate out to the middle of the ice and get that putt. And Tampa Bay is like, oh, shit, Nathan MacKinnon's getting further away from Vasi.
Yep.
He's getting further and further away. Well, we like how this is going. Yep. Yes, please.
Sometimes it's just not that complicated.
Yeah. The Avs made life too hard on themselves defensively, including their goaltender, who did not play well enough. And they made life too easy for Tampa Bay's defense.
Yep.
And goaltender. The biggest saves that Vasi makes are two backhanders on empty nets, and he's moving laterally on JT Compher, who does the same exact thing on both of them. He shoots them both right back into his body. Yeah.
Doesn't lift them.
Doesn't really get a whole lot on either one of them. I agree the first one is a lot closer. It's a lot more
You'd
of a bang-bang
like
play.
Lift. I'd agree with the lift on that first one, but it's a great save from Vasilevsky. Second one, really hard to watch a second time.
And then Compher has multiple chances in clean looks.
Yeah, on the
one
forehand,
goes right into the chest.
Yep.
The other goes right into the leg pad where Vasi has his leg on top of it, doesn't even need it because it just right into the leg and then he just covers it and you're just like, okay.
Yep. He wasn't finishing tonight and plenty of dudes weren't even putting themselves in dangerous opportunities to score tonight.
Yeah, the Avs had a 3-on-1 and they just shot the puck.
Yeah, Nathan MacKinnon shoots it.
Is that who was coming out?
Yeah,
I didn't know if it
into Vassie's chest.
He tries to go 5-hole on Vassie on a 3-on-1. Don't even look at his teammates.
Yeah.
And by that point, I think MacKinnon had transitioned from just trying to get goals, just trying to do this, to now I've got to do it all on my own.
Sure.
This isn't working. I gotta elevate. I gotta do it all on my own. And for the record, I don't think Nathan MacKinnon was bad tonight.
I don't think he was either. He obviously doesn't have the points, but
I don't think he was bad tonight. He continues even before the third period got super tilted stats wise. Even before that, he was there. He was driving their most effective 5v5 line.
Yeah.
He was having the most success. He was always in the offensive zone. They were just fine. And then defensively, you're looking at them. Where did that line let them down? It's Mikko Rantanen in the middle of the ice. It's Arturi Lehkonen and JT Compher on handoffs. And some of this, I think, is a struggle of some of these line combinations are a little unfamiliar, so they're not totally comfortable. You know, when you put together a Lehkonen, Compher, Rantanen line, that
a bunch of dudes like, who are you?
Yeah, not a lot of time there, especially in the center of the ice where both JT and Mikko have spent a lot of time as wings this year. Obviously, Rantanen primarily a wing.
Yeah.
But a lot of those guys, like a lot of that communication stuff you can point at and be like, these are breakdowns with guys who don't play quite as much together. Still unacceptable, still not good enough. And none of you don't look at any of your defense pairs and feel good about any of them. Not one of them.
Yeah.
Again, the numbers end up very skewed at the end of the night.
Of course.
But through two periods, they're even at 5v5. It's just that you have given them such great scoring chances.
Yep.
And they scored on them.
Yep.
That it got away from you. It got out of hand. Would have been another situation where I would like to see Jared Bednar take a timeout. And just
kind of
reel his guys in and be like, whoa, 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 whoa. You guys are really way too loosey-goosey. Let's calm it down just a little bit.
Maybe a minute 20 challenge.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
Can we get a minute 20 to consider options after something goes wrong? Great point.
I'm joking. I don't think that was the difference maker. Yeah.
Sure, but you never know, right? Like, you never know how much a 30-second, hey, let's just, whoa, 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 whoa. This just got... Okay, let's calm down. At 4-2, let's calm down.
And it ended up getting to 5-2, and game got out of hand. Tampa scores on a power play late, whatever. Things weren't super relevant at that point. The Avs just did not execute well enough. That's the thing I want to keep coming back to. Because I think the reality of this series is you probably saw Tampa's worst game in Game 2, and you're probably going to see the Avs' worst game here in Game 3. I expect them to be significantly better, not just in Game 4, but throughout whatever the rest of the series
holds. They
have
to be better than this.
Yeah. If they're not, they're not going to win.
Yeah, no.
And so, we'll see, ultimately. I'm not, I can't see the future. I don't know what Game 4 holds, but I expect it to be competitive. I'll put it that way. We are, of course, brought to you by a new sponsor here. Avs fans, your home for Denver sports coverage is partnering with a leader in the sports merchandise and collectibles. DNVR has teamed up with FOCO to secure your access to the best collectibles and gear around. You can throw it back to 1996. You can get their new Joe Sakic Stanley Cup Celebration bobblehead if you're a bobblehead fan.
It's cool.
It's super
I think
cool.
We saw a picture of it in the Slack today. It was really neat.
Yeah, it's got a backer on it and stuff. It's cool.
Yeah, I was actually like, I don't do bobbleheads, but that's kind of like that one.
They, of course, have a ton of other officially licensed Avalanche gear. And, of course, depending on what happens through the rest of this series, they're an access point to get your 2022 gear, whatever that may look like. So, highly recommend. Head over to FOCO.com. That's FOCO.com. And use promo code DNVR to get 10% off whatever you order. You can also click the link in the YouTube description if you want to make it easy. So go check all of that out. And, of course, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, number one rated sportsbook out there. Use code DNVR when you sign up for them with a new account. You bet $5 on the Cup Finals, and you get $100 in free bets, even if you're wrong. So go over there, check it out, put $5 down, take the $100 and bet on whatever you want. I have a lot more success betting on sports that aren't hockey, to be honest with you. But well,
hockey being one of the like premier unpredictable sports is creates that kind of
found out tonight.
But if you're vibing, you're vibing. Yep. So bet on whatever it is you're feeling. Make some money with DraftKings. Of course, use the DNVR code to get that five for $100 deal. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Third period of this hockey game. Not a ton.
The third period happened.
It happened, yeah.
All right, what are our takeaways from the game?
I want to, before we get there, I want to talk about this because we kind of glossed over it for the most part in game two, and maybe that's what we should do. But we saw Tampa goon it up at the end of game two. We saw the Avs get a little goony in the third period. Are we all cool with that?
It's playoff hockey.
Is that just part of the deal?
Stanley Cup finals.
I mean, Cogs takes a pretty healthy whack at Pat Maroon to kick some of that off.
For
and
sure.
And then
things go out of hand.
And then everybody else, yeah. And yeah. For some reason, LOC and Ross Colton just start punching each other.
Yeah, I didn't fully understand
that. I never know how. So, like, I get if Cogliano and Maroon are going to punch each other.
Right. Makes sense.
That makes sense to me. But how do those two guys
OC's
end up in it?
Mouthy. Like, he is
well,
constantly
no doubt.
Instigating just like verbal communication. I think he just pissed him off.
Who's
He's
that?
Just
OC.
Yeah, I would say that because like if you watched him throughout this whole year, right?
There's
always guys taking shots at him, and you never really see him run his mouth. Right. So he's sneaky at it.
He's sneaky. Yeah.
And I like if
somehow he's got teeth that stick out 7 feet from his face, and you never see him say anything to anybody. Well, but you know he is. Because
you see the reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
that's, yeah.
If LOC calls you a turbo douche and you turn around and you see that dude smile looking at you, you're like, I gotta punch this dude.
Yeah, right? He's got like the soft eyes,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And then he's got kind of like the decent looking beard that's starting to come in, the playoff beard.
I don't like it.
And then it's ginger beards are always hit
it's
or miss.
Scary.
You're either down or you're not. And then he's, you know, he's very, yeah, no.
He's saying something.
Exactly. He's got the soft eyes that draw you in, and then he says something about your girlfriend and you're like,
what?
This mother not okay.
Anyway, just wanted to get that out there because both teams did it. Game two, game three. It's not like either one of them were particularly out of line with the other in that situation.
Yeah. The Avs didn't really like what was different about games two and three in the third period. The Avs really like the Avs played hockey in the third.
Yeah,
like they
sure.
really they kept their foot on the gas.
Yeah.
They were. I mean, they pulled. Pressure. They're down 6-2. On a 4v4, they pull their goalie, and you know, like they kept trying to play the game here.
Yeah.
So I'm really just things did definitely get physical. I thought things got a little silly. I don't Devontae's cross check on Nikita Kucherov I thought was a curious interpretation of cross-checking, but
it was a choice. Well, and especially because Manson had gotten rocked like a minute earlier.
Yeah, you're talking like maybe the shift earlier.
Yeah,
he had gotten back.
Yeah, he had gotten run, and you're kind of just like, this is the game management that you guys are gonna go with, and like classic Nikita Kucherov too. He gets up, and Devontae starts to skate away. And, like, Kucherov has always had, like, the salty dog in him. And he waits till Taves starts to skate away. Taves has his back to him, and then Kucherov goes after him. And you're just like, it's like classic stuff here. And this is coming from somebody, like, Nikita Kucherov rules. Like,
yeah.
Okay, this isn't me being like, I had no idea he was such a scumbag. And, you know, like, that playoff stuff where guys pull that shit, and you're like, oh my God, you know, no, like he's always been this guy. So it was not, I was not surprised to see that interaction take place. I was surprised by the penalty that was called.
Yeah. Okay. We can move on to takeaways here. Megan, you need to start hiding a lighter with your knives so you can burn the tape or what's
this
the tape?
This does
here?
Feel like a burn the tape. No, and I think this
just got to heat up the knife a little. That's all it is.
What am I doing with the knife? I actually, There's no knife. There's no, well, there might be a lighter for this one because we had a similar conversation for Tampa following game two, that this is one they just need to throw the tape away. Kind of similar for the Avs. A lot of similar things went wrong in that it was just a team-wide effort that went badly. And
bar's going off for some reason.
Those three dudes are amped.
I've experienced a lot of emotions throughout these playoffs, but this is maybe one of the first times where I have felt genuinely disappointed in the Avs because I knew they could play better than this. And it's not that, you know, the stakes of them losing this game is it's suddenly over for them. I just knew that they had the capability to win it and they didn't. And it is disappointing to see. I have full faith that they can win in game four or, you know, bring it back home and win again. Like, it's not over for me, but I'm disappointed because they really did fall short from what I know that they're capable of. And even looking at Vasilevsky's performance tonight, he's still human. This is still a goaltender that they can get past. Like, almost every goal scored against, including the nuke goal that gets called back, is just a shot from the far circle. Like, this is not a team that the Avs can't beat. And I'm just a little bit disappointed in them. I think it's okay to say as much. And hopefully they just throw the tape away for this one and we see a much better team-wide performance in game four.
It's just that when everyone on the team can play better, it's not hard to play better in the next game, is
yeah,
it?
No, I'm
not
mad.
Much,
I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, not many lessons to
congrats,
learn here.
Ads, you have
just
disappointed
don't
Megan.
Do it again. Exactly. I am not easily disappointed by a hockey
game. With the, like, mom stance?
Yeah. That's
I saw it. I saw it.
The instincts came out.
I'm chasing them.
There it is.
No orange slices stance. After this game.
Dude, that was definitely in LOC is grounded.
Yeah. So
I don't
grounded.
Know what he said, but.
He's so grounded.
What did you say to that kid, Logan?
I've let it slide all season, but what are you saying?
We are not moving it for a fourth time. This is not happening.
I got grounded for actions in a hockey game once.
Oh,
yeah, same. Yeah. But even, like, to your point that Vasi is still human, you watch him tonight. There are multiple pucks that hit him.
And he doesn't
and
know
he,
where they are.
And he's
yeah.
like, whoa, whoa.
Oh, he gave up a lot of rebounds.
There were a couple that, like, squeaked through his body.
And
like,
he's
there
looking
was,
behind him.
There,
yeah.
was one, there was one where I sarcastically was like in the third period, a puck gets tipped, jaw slides by the yep. net. And like, he did not have yeah. it covered. And I was being, like, a cheeky dick at the time. But I was just like.
You're pulling an LOC.
Must be nice. You know, like. Yep. Those
it
are the
hits you and goes out.
Those are the
hits
those,
you and goes in.
Those
yeah.
are the inches that separate games sometimes, yep. and you could see the tipped one that ended up in their sixth goal. It's a tipped puck, and then it goes off the inside of the pad, and then the post,
and then that
guy, yeah, and you're
it,
just
yeah.
like, shut the fuck up. And then in the third period, you get that tipped yeah. puck, and it's a good tip, and he doesn't have a and a good just an inch wide of it, and you're just like, dang. And you're just, like, that's hockey. Like, that's yep. how it goes. Sometimes that inch goes your way, and sometimes it goes against
and
you.
Credit to him. He made some great saves. Like, yeah. it's just, it isn't the narrative of the unsolvable
really
goaltender either. Yeah. I'm not buying into that.
And I'm also, just to further this, to build off of it, I'm not buying into Tampa Bay, the team of resolve or whatever. Because right before they got their fourth goal, I'm sitting here, and I'm just like, I'm just not impressed with their 5v5 play here.
Yeah.
Like, Colorado was such a large part of, in the same way that I felt when they lost game two to St. Louis, Colorado creates the scoring chances that go in against them, and then they get a break or two that goes against the, you know, but it's kind of a bad break. Like, I'm not gonna harp on it, but it's kind of a bad break that they give. That they give Tampa Bay 10 years to decide if they want to challenge them.
For sure.
If that goal stands, we don't know what the game is after that.
You're a completely different branch of history.
You're in a
point.
Different
yeah.
game. You don't know what yeah. that looks like. But the Avs were such a big part of Tampa Bay's success tonight that you're like, if you eliminate that,
right.
what does this look like?
Well, and
the Avs still outplay them at 5v5. And at best, even at absolute best in Tampa Bay's defense here, they were even through two periods.
Yep.
But it's 6-2, you're just like.
And look, credit Tampa for finishing the opportunities
yeah,
that the Avs
exactly.
gave.
100%.
The Avs
that's
didn't
what they
score
do
those
too.
Goals. Tampa Bay did.
Yeah. That's what
that's,
they do.
This is a great point.
That's what they do. Like, when other teams fail,
and give up chances.
They step in. Yeah.
They execute on it, and that's why they're here year after year, because they don't have to play all their games as great games.
They just have to be better.
They just have to be better than the other team, yeah, and look for those mistakes. And tonight, I mean, again, and lots of mistakes.
Right? And look, it's said a lot, but this is part of the reason that the hockey playoffs play seven games is, yep, because some games, one team shits the bed out of, yeah, character. Some games, yeah, the bounces don't go one team's way, yeah, out of the norm. You got seven games total to sort it all out.
Yeah. Yeah, and if those things continue to happen, like, from a process standpoint, you just say, okay, if we eliminate these mistakes, you're not going to eliminate all of them.
Of course not.
That's why you pay a goalie.
Yeah.
But you eliminate a lot of those mistakes. You eliminate a lot of the little stuff that ended up in the back of your net, and you say, okay, how do we feel about the rest of our game? They needed to create a little more danger,
yep,
on offense.
Yep.
And they needed to capitalize a little bit better. Those are, yeah. But other than that, like, their process through so much of the game, their forecheck remained solid.
Yep. Yep.
Through the neutral zone, they remained fine. Tampa Bay has yet to show sustained resistance against Colorado's primary game plan. Even in this fiasco of a second period, you're looking at it, and it's Colorado shooting themselves in the foot, Tampa Bay getting out of the way and saying thank you.
Yep. Yep.
And this is what you build off of for the Avs. You bounce back. You've been bouncing back all year. You right. don't let tonight carry over into,
yeah,
Wednesday.
Yeah.
You just don't take it with you. In the same way that Tampa Bay didn't take game two with them into tonight.
Right.
Yep.
You don't take tonight with you into game four.
This is an interesting comment from Zachary, who says it always feels like our mistakes get capitalized on. You know why? It's because the mistakes that your goalie stops, you don't remember.
Yeah. Right. You don't remember that in the first minute of the game, Darcy
Thank
Kemper.
You.
Huge save.
A big toe save. And it wasn't that. It was the rebound from Colton immediately
that
after.
Blocker save on.
That he makes the save immediately after. We're not talking about any of that.
Yeah.
Because that's him doing his job. That's what he's there to do. But also, it's not Steven Stamkos completely by himself in front of the net shooting on him. So it is. True.
True. Let's get to the super chats here.
Who's king of the game today?
Oh, right. Landy, of course, is getting the king of the game.
Almost missed it.
Oh my god.
Wow, this dude is like, you guys need to make sure you do king of the game. Who
Speaking
is
of
it?
Executing.
Yeah. No one in Colorado
executing. We're killing Yaya.
So while
Messed
we have
up one too many times.
While we have a Megan few seconds.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. It's up already. Alright, we're on.
Landy's the only dude who scored a goal for the Avs tonight. Like,
he did it twice.
He's getting king of the game.
Couldn't finish in game two. Decided.
This is the one.
So Rantanen has two assists tonight.
Makar as well.
He has seven assists through the first three games of the Stanley Cup final, which had never been done before.
Yep.
Okay.
That was a fun stat that they threw up, and I was like, by golly, how about that?
But that, is that what
I
you
thought,
were like?
I thought that
you
was
said,
interesting.
By golly, to yourself.
Sometimes.
That's the text.
Look, every once in a while I drop a G golly Willikers. All right? You just have to.
You like a well placed G golly Willikers.
That's
you,
what I'm saying.
You got some Shucky Darns in there too?
Not usually.
No? Okay,
that's not usually part of the lexicon. I leave that one out.
Okay. We can get to the super chats now. $10 from the Schick that says, that didn't go quite as planned, but Bednar is great with adjusting from game to game, and now he actually has some adjustments to make. Game three, we will bounce back. Vibe Tribe for life.
Yeah, remember last time the Avs lost?
Game five.
Round two.
Yeah.
Yeah, game five, where they came out and they played a really good game set. I mean, they chased it a little bit because they got scored on, but... Yeah.
Talked about this feeling like game five from St. Louis.
Yeah.
And it's fairly similar, right? It's one disaster of a period, really. It was period
You're
three
right.
in game five, but...
It really felt a lot more like game two to me.
I don't know that I agree with that. I kind of understand what
I think,
you're saying.
I think you guys are actually right. I'm running through the checklist in my brain.
Like, well,
trying to go one-to-one.
They played
like,
really
you know
well
what?
In that game five.
Yeah.
Just lost it.
Yep.
Tomorrow,
Yeah, Norris results will be tomorrow.
$2 from Craven. I would have preferred this game go differently. Indeed.
These are my favorite.
These are my favorite.
Yeah.
$5 from Jack. Hey, lads. I just bought my Game 5 ticket flying out to Denver for Pittsburgh. Sweet. Hope to be at the DNVR bar game 4. Happy 21st to you.
Nice.
Happy birthday. That's awesome. Come get drunk at the DNVR bar legally.
There are going to be so many people here on Wednesday.
Yeah. Get here early if you're coming on Wednesday. It's going to be busy. And then Friday and Sunday, this place might actually be a madhouse. We'll see.
Yeah.
Depending on what games are needed. But
you have a good reason.
$10 from Jamie. Keeping the good vibes rolling regardless of the turnout.
True, Jamie.
Yeah, they're up to, look, you're up 2-1 in Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah, you still feel good
without,
on the
whole. Without telling you how we got here, had I said, hey, going into game 4, you're going to have a 2-1 series lead. You would have been like.
All day.
Yep.
I will take
yes,
that.
Yes, please.
All day.
Lots of ways it could be worse. Only one way it could be better.
Yep.
So.
$5 from Pale. Tampa went down easy tonight, which makes it easier to get injured. Tampa played like soccer players, not necessarily diving, but making the most of it. I don't think I really agree with that take.
I really don't have an issue. I didn't have an issue with any of that.
They had Paul get hurt and go down the tunnel. Kucherov went down the tunnel
Perry
at the end of that game.
Hurt.
I just don't think they went down soft. I don't think there was anything particularly egregious that happened either.
I don't think this is a Department of Player Safety conversation.
Yeah, no. $10 from Colton.
They need like a department of like grown ups though.
Adults.
Yeah, to like call them and like to call them up and just be okay, like,
so
Corey Perry, stop.
I'm quickly learning.
Corey Perry, stop.
Just stop.
You're gonna get grounded.
Yeah, quickly learning Megan's next job here.
DNVR's adult?
Yeah.
The DNVR Avalanche adult. You need to put this on your resume moving forward.
You say yeah, and then I'm over here like, no. So, I don't know. It's balance.
Drinking a Smirnoff Ice.
Right.
Is it a knife or is it a Smirnoff? You never know what she's reaching for.
It's a knife or a Smirnoff.
Thank you for the 10, Colton. Much appreciated. $5 from Miss Truly. Win some, lose some. I want to win it at home anyway. Time to regroup and happy to see Landy get some.
Very true.
Yeah. Again, the same conversation you have after a win where it's, hey, go 1-0 in the next one. That doesn't change after a loss.
Yep.
Same thing. Forget about it. Go 1-0 in the next one. $5 from Billy saying, if you think that Frankie would have stopped 4 shots within 10 beat without any AV defender in sight, you need to reevaluate what you are looking at. I appreciate the super chat very much. We all made a pact that we would never talk about this ever again until the season was over. So thank you. We're moving on.
We made a pact.
And of course, the legendary Drew with another $100. So to everybody that is panicking, here is your game plan. Slap yourself, shake your head, have a drink, realize that it's one game, and move on to Wednesday. Calling Beast Mode Mac in a couple days as well. Thank you very much, Drew.
I don't have a strong Nathan MacKinnon problem with how he's played in this series. I would like to see better from Taves. I would like to see better from Makar.
Yep.
But I do think that there's a little bit more there for Nathan MacKinnon. Offensively, you'd probably like to see. And this is where, look, he's not playing with two high-level finishers like he has for a long time here.
Yep.
I know Nuke and Landy have scored a lot of goals in this series and a lot of goals in this postseason, but
a different weapons that are treated differently than Amico.
Exactly. Yeah. And when I say I want a little more from Nate, it's really not that much more. It's really like a goal.
Finish one, yeah.
You know, at 5v5.
Yeah.
But Miko, for sure, he has to drive that line. And you saw with Burakovsky, there was other skill. There was another guy that was comfortable skating with the puck up the ice that allowed that line to still function the way that they wanted to. It's not what Arturi Lehkonen does.
Yeah. Yep.
And the Lehkonen-Compher combination just might be a little too misfit. And then I'm of the opinion Nazem Kadri comes back for game 4.
Me too.
I don't think he traveled to just watch them play.
Well, it sounds like Berkey flew out too, right?
Yeah, but we don't know. We just don't know what that looks like. I think that's just a just in case kind of thing. But I do think that there was that element of hey, missing that guy really hurt them. And then, you know, missing Kadri hurts, but then missing Burakovsky on top of it. When Burakovsky had been so important in games one and two.
Yeah.
Well, you get either of those guys back, and the situation now is, you drop them right back into that second line.
Yeah.
And you don't worry about it.
And if on the off chance you get them both back.
Right.
Then
you've got some stuff you can play with.
And then you're dropping Compher and Lekkonen.
Yeah.
And then you're really, you know, or you're dropping Burakovsky and Compher down to that third.
Make it work however you want.
You know, then you have that, like, what's now their third line can go back to being the fourth line. And, you know, then you see. But it's, you know, we've heard through the grapevine that it's a broken finger or thumb.
Yeah.
For Burakovsky, I'm not sure of which. And I heard today that it's a torn hip flexor for Braden Point. The stress from making up for the groin issue.
Yeah,
worked his hip flexor. Yeah,
screwed up his hip, and then he's also got some built up scar tissue from a knee injury in the past that's causing him problems. So
everybody's
like,
beat up.
Like Braden Point. Like I don't know that Braden Point is like comfortably wandering around anywhere right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know about his availability moving forward, but it is interesting that Colorado continues with like these finger injuries.
Yeah, a lot of hands.
Like a broken thumb, and then Cogliano, and then Burakovsky blocking a pass with his hand, and it had to have caught him perfectly to break a finger.
Yep.
But also, maybe that's why you don't wear those ratty ass broken down fucking gloves, bro.
$2 from Pale saying, love the show. We will come back strong. Thank you. And $5 from Joseph saying, we were a Bowen Byram chin hair from sucking the air out of that place. Goaltending needs to be better, but we good. Go Avs.
I do feel like there's a sneaky amount of comfort coming out of this game.
Yeah. Again.
Which is funny saying that.
The problems are obvious and easy to fix for the most part for Colorado. No one's going like, we're not really sure what we could have done better. No. Clearly, don't let them be alone in the slot.
Yeah. Well, and it goes back to kind of, it's funny because they've done this before. The Oilers series, the Blues series, both of those were, if you take away high danger chances and make them beat you elsewhere.
They don't.
Make them get tipped goals, you know, make them score on the power play, this and that, right? Don't let them score from right in front of the net. If you remove that element, and they did that in games one and two, no problem. They don't do it in game three, and they get rocked. And you're like, okay, well, no surprise. When they've been successful, they've been able to take that away, and they've also then in the Oilers series, had just had Mike Smith at the other end. Hmm. So it's really like lean back on what they've done well.
Yep.
Against high-end players. You take those elements away, you make them earn it a little bit more, you'll be okay.
Yep.
You'll be okay.
All righty. Final thoughts, Blaze?
The road to the Stanley Cup is rocky, and just destroying the other team is super fun, but I'll tell you what. I've watched two Avs championships, and while the 0-1 was super stressful, was more enjoyable.
There you go.
Sweeter at the end.
I'm not about any. Just win it.
Yeah.
Just win it.
I do not care. I do not care how many. I do not care how many games.
Well, I mean, absolutely. But like, if you think that you're just going to walk in every year and then, you know,
of course
play the other best team in the league and just kind of walk through them, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean,
they're here for a reason.
I would still. I would still like to through three games. I don't think Tampa Bay has been the better team in any game.
No.
And that's where this result tonight makes you a little salty.
Yep.
They were better enough tonight for me. But anyway, final thoughts?
Fair enough. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Okay. Megan, nothing? All right. We're going to get out of here for this one. We'll be back tomorrow on an off day to probably break even more. Well, maybe. I don't know. We might have a show with Jesse. We'll see.
Expected to be the three of us hanging out at our houses.
Yeah. There'll be a pod tomorrow, one way or another. Yeah. Please tune in for that. Wednesday, of course, we'll have the whole pregame, watch-along, postgame, everything for you. So we love all of you so much. And that's it. We will talk to you on the next one.